There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more love somewhere. There is more hope somewhere. There is more hope somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more hope somewhere. There is more peace somewhere. There is more peace somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more peace somewhere. There is more joy somewhere. There is more joy somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more joy somewhere. There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of ear and eye, of all the heart and mind's delight. For the mystic harmony, linking sense to sound and sight. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends of earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For each perfect gift and sign to this world so freely given, grace is human and divine, love uniting earth and heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul? To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb who is the great I am. While millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on. Streams of mercy never cease. sing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. To grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart up to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And seal it for thy courts above.
Is this on? Okay. For our gathering song, we're going to be singing What Is This Place? If you turn to page 22, and please rise.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Salford Mennonite Church. We want to extend a warm welcome to all who are present here and to those joining us online. I invited my granddaughter, Lydia, to help lead worship with me this morning.
Today is a special day as we come together to celebrate the ordination of Pastor Brooke Martin, who is the Youth and Community Formation Pastor for Mosaic Conference and also a member of our church. We are glad to have Brooke's family and friends, as well as those from Mosaic Conference, joining us both in person and online for this celebration. As we gather, we know our God is near.
I was privileged to facilitate a discernment group for Brooke, which was invited by the Salford Church Board. And we gathered to prayerfully listen to Brooke share her journey of call to ministry as she moves from license to ordination. As a circle of trust, we noticed that Brooke's journey was filled with passion, perseverance, and grace. And today we celebrate Brooke's lifelong call to ministry.
As we enter into this time of worship, let us be mindful of the gifts that God has created in each one of us. As stated in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. We may serve in different ways, but we serve the same Lord. And God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us.
May the Spirit of God move among us this morning as we worship together.
Please turn to page 103 for Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
I invite the ushers to come forward to receive the offering. Children are encouraged to give dollar bills or coins for a special project that the children will choose together.
Please pass the friendship folders that are located at the end of the center aisle bench. And we love to know who is worshiping with us. And if you have a prayer request, please feel free to fill out a prayer card in the folder. Please join us in prayer.
Generous God, you bless us with life. You sustain us that we might live fully. You shower us with gifts that we might share your abundance freely. We offer our gifts with hearts filled with gratitude.
God, let our gifts meet the needs of others and fill them with joy. Accept our offering of thanksgiving, love, and commitment. And may your love be shared not here just at Salford, but in our communities and throughout the world. Amen.
I will sing with you, my family, will you sing with me? I will sing with you, my family, will you sing with me? The notes won't always come out as I like, but I will learn to see the log in my own eye. God, I surrender. Bring us together. Bring us together. I will sing with you, my neighbor, will you sing with me? I will sing with you, my neighbor, will you sing with me? My words will be imperfect, but I'll try, bringing my assumptions to the light. I pray, God, I surrender. Bring us together. Bring us together. I will sing with you, my rival, will you sing with me? I will sing with you, my rival, will you sing with me? Difference is a place where God is found. In seeking peace, we're walking on to holy ground. God, we surrender. Bring us together. Bring us together. We will sing our song together, sing in harmony. We will sing our song together, whether two or three. Jesus feels our pain, he sets us free. The Spirit's given us this song of hope to sing. God, we surrender. Bring us together. Bring us together. Bring us together. Bring us together.
And now I would like to invite the children to come up for children's time. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. Happy to see y'all. Good morning, good morning. Y'all can scoot closer. There's still a number of kids coming, and there's a lot of space up here. All right. So happy to see each of you. Thanks for coming up. So today I want to talk about our gifts, and I'm not necessarily talking about gifts that we receive or give on birthdays, but the gifts God has given us, meaning things we are especially good at or things we enjoy and how we share them. So there are many ways you share your gifts here at Salford and your families and at school. And one clear example right now is the coloring that you're sharing in each of the windowsills. And I hope if you've turned one in the past couple weeks, you've gone and looked for yours and seen where it is. And you have lots and lots of other gifts as well. Some of you are really friendly and welcoming, and you invite others in. Some of you ask really good questions. Some of you are really good at noticing how you're feeling or how other people are feeling or noticing the things going on around you. And when we listen for how God is asking us to share our gifts with the world, we call that God's calling for us. Each person has a calling, a way that God is inviting us to share God's love and justice with the world. And when we hear that invitation, what can we say? We can say yes. So today's a really special day for William and Naomi's mom, Pastor Brooke, because she is saying yes to God's calling in her life, which is to be a pastor. A pastor is someone who helps the church follow God better by teaching us about the Bible and helping us love one another and show God's love to the world. So God has asked Brooke to be a pastor and has given her the gifts to do it. And today, Brooke is going to make a commitment in front of all of us to the community, to follow Jesus as a pastor. So later we'll hear Brooke answer some questions, and we'll do something important today too. We'll be thanking God for helping Brooke and helping the church, and we're going to pray for Pastor Brooke too. So Brooke has been such a blessing for us here at Salford. She was the leader of children's ministry for a year. If you're in elementary school, she also leads your singing some months. And if you've gotten a chance to bless Brooke, too, with the poster that you made that's on the front of the bulletin this Sunday. Did you see it? Yeah. So, let's pray. Thank you, God, our loving parent, that you call each of us to share our gifts and love in the world in a particular way. Thank you for Pastor Brooke's yes, her lifelong commitment to serving you. Amen. And now,
This morning, we will not be accepting shared prayer requests during the service. However, if you have a prayer request, please feel free to fill out a prayer card, or you can reach out to one of our pastors via text or call, as they are always available to listen to your prayer concerns. This morning, we will respond during the prayer for the people. Lord, hear our prayer.
Join us for prayer. God, gather us in as we notice the beauty of our spring creation. This new season brings bursts of color and warm winds that remind us of how amazing you are.
Today we come together with grateful hearts, thankful for the breath of life and for all that sustains us when we, with bodily strength and health. Refresh our souls and fill us with your love.
God, we ask you that you would gather in those who are struggling with life challenges. Gather in those who are grieving, for whom the light seems dim. Surround them with comfort and love.
We especially remember those in our Salford community who are facing health challenges. For Keith Hebner, who is recovering from ankle replacement on Wednesday, pray for continued improvement. Lord, hear our prayer.
For Rose Martin, who is in Lehigh Rehab for a fractured spine and broken collarbone she suffered after a fall, we pray for healing and a quick recovery.
Lord, hear our prayer. For Vince Casarano, who is at Grandview this morning, and he's waiting for surgery for Monday to alleviate issues by a kidney stone. Lord, hear our prayer.
For Roma Ruth, who has been struggling with a cough for several weeks, we pray for relief and recovery.
Lord, hear our prayer. All May's 8 congregations are invited to pray for Blooming Glen as they begin the next step in their pastoral search process for a lead pastor. Lord, hear our prayer.
We are reminded each day of the violence in our community and around the world. We pray for those who are suffering from the results of war and violence. We pray for an end to the division between individuals, groups, and nations. We pray for our love, for your love to reign over all.
Lord, hear our prayer. God, we offer everything to you in the hope that the work of your Spirit will exceed our expectations. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Just a brief announcement and a reminder that there will be no second hour today, and that you all are invited for a potluck in our fellowship hall downstairs following the service.
Please turn to number 546. There is a line of women, and stand if you're able.
Thank you. That is a powerful song, isn't it? I have to take a second just to kind of let it settle. It's all in the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to introduce our speaker this morning. There is no brief way to introduce Michelle Hershberger, but I'm going to try. Michelle teaches Bible and ministry at Heston College, where she is also now the co-campus pastor. She has written or co-written at least 5 books. She can tell the exact amount, I don't know, including the book that we use in our new members class. Her books are floating all around this building. And including a book that we will be reading as a congregation this coming fall. You didn't know that yet, but you know it now. She'll be back in September to speak again. Mm-hmm. She has been a teacher in Heston College's legendary biblical literature class and has co-written the book about it with Marion Bontrager, another legend, and another legend, our former pastor, John Sharp. Mm-hmm. She is one of the best known preachers in our denomination, and you are about to find out why people say that. She's been a mentor to many, many youth workers, pastors, and ministry leaders, and she is a one-of-a-kind disciple of Jesus. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is from Matthew 16. If you're interested in following along, there is a Bible in each pew, and it's on page 18 in the New Testament. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
So, Jesus is with his disciples, doing what rabbis do, teaching, talking, the disciples eating up every word. They loved him, you know, followed him everywhere, and that's what you do. You follow his every footstep, you drink in every word. You go where he goes. You do what he does. He walks on water. You walk on, well, you try. It's such an honor to be picked. Every little boy dreamed of being a rabbi, longed for it. At the tender age of 6, the little boys would go to Betsafer, House of the Book, where they would study and then memorize the first 5 books, Torah. And then at age 10, they would go to Bet Talmud, where they would learn and memorize the rest of the 39 books. But only the best of the best went to Bet Midrash. Only the best of the best heard the rabbi say, come, follow me. Only the best of the best got to be disciples. The rest go home, get married, follow in their father's trade, all honorable things, all. Just not that special calling. Not everybody makes the cut. Oh, but for those who do, they say, I am a disciple of this rabbi, and I'm learning such wonderful things about him, and someday I will be a rabbi too. Life is sweet. So what does it mean that James and John were fishing with their father Zebedee when Jesus found them? What does it mean that they were in their father's boat, following in their father's trade, when they heard the words, come, follow me? Oh, this Rabbi Jesus, he is different. His yoke is easy. His words ring true. Although, right at the moment, it looks like Jesus has some bad sense of direction because he just turned down the road to Caesarea Philippi, and quite frankly, that is not an appropriate place for a Torah observant Jew to be. I mean, doesn't he know where he's going? I mean, with all due respect, Rabbi Jesus, you know, if my parents knew that we were this close to Caesarea Philippi, they would be surprised, disappointed. I would be so busted. Doesn't he know? I mean, about that city, sin city, Caesarea Philippi, a city built next to a huge, huge rock cliff, is a center for the wildest pagan worship in the ancient world. It is the birthplace of Pan, the Greek god of field and forest, fertility and orgies. Pan, the son of Hermes and some Greek nymph. Pan, a creature too wild to look at with his head shaped like a goat. Well, this is just not right. And then there are these sacrifices, and then there's this sexual intercourse between humans and animals. And then there's the temple to Augustus, so there's Caesar worship here too. And all of these things happen, all these sacrifices and things on top of this rock. And then toward the bottom of the rock, there's this big gaping hole. This is where, it is said, that the demons fly out of the underworld into the night. And they call this crevice the gates of hell. Jesus has taken you to a place that is littered with the temples of Syrian gods, a place where the Greek gods look down and frolic, a place where the white marbled splendor of Caesar worship dominates the landscape, a place of pagan orgies and the crevice of hell itself. But you follow the rabbi wherever he goes. And here he stops, right here, right next to this great big rock cliff. And he turns and he looks at you. What is the master doing? So who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, the rabbi has never asked you that before. Well, you think, you're a rabbi, of course, a very good rabbi, maybe the best rabbi. That's the safe answer. It's not what he wants. And everybody's heard the rumblings that he's John the Baptist come back from the dead, or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's what people are whispering. That's the talk. But Jesus doesn't need for you to say that to him. He's heard the rumblings too. What is Jesus doing? But who do you say I am? That's the question. The real question. But what's the answer? Is this a test? I mean, is this a test? I mean, you've gone out of the way, all miles and miles and miles away to Caesarea Philippi, this pagan place, this place where no good Torah observant Jew should be. You go to just the wrong place at the wrong time, and then he looks at you and says, who do you say I am? Yes, 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 it is a test. Simon steps forward. Oh, and of course it would be Simon. Bumbling, act too fast, put your foot in your mouth, Simon. Nathaniel takes his arm and tries to pull him back in the rank. I thought about that too. You know, I could choose any disciple on earth, but no, I choose Nathaniel. Trying to keep him from embarrassing himself, embarrassing all of you. The whole walking on water thing is still fresh in everybody's mind. Simon, the name is so apropos. It means sinking sand, and Simon fits that with tea. Big bravado and no follow through. Simon, just get back in the line and keep your mouth shut. But Simon doesn't keep his mouth shut. He hesitates for only a moment. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said it out loud. He said it out loud. All of you have thought it. All of you have longed for it, dreamed for it. Oh, what it would be like to be a disciple of the Messiah. But you know, it's one thing to think it inside your mind, and it's another thing to say it out loud. What in the world is Simon doing? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And now you are Peter. And on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are Petros. And on this Petra, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter? Simon is now, sinking sand is now Peter? And what rock? What rock? That rock? That rock? That rock of pagan sacrifices and the place where humans and goats have sexual intercourse and the place with the deep crevice where the demons fly out at night? That rock? Simon is now Peter? Something happens in this small moment. Peter sees a new reality. The disciples, you see a new reality. Jesus is going to use Simon to build his church in the most unlikely of all places. Jesus believes in him. Jesus in Simon, sinking sand, now Peter. Did Jesus believes in you, all of you. Unless he's just lost his mind. But no, he continues. He said, now, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Yeah, no, that's what a rabbi does. A rabbi holds the keys to the kingdom. And rabbis, they bind and loose interpretation of scriptures. Jesus is not joking. Jesus believes in them. I'm going to use you, Simon, sinking sand, now Peter. I'm going to use all of you. I'm going to use you to build my church in the most God-forsaken, heathen, hellish place on earth. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. You know, many times we talk about how important it is to believe in Jesus. But have you ever considered the fact that Jesus believes in you? We are like the disciples. We are called first and foremost to be followers of Christ, followers in every aspect of our lives. Mechanic Christians, banker Christians, school teacher Christians, farmer Christians, Bible teacher Christians. And some of us, a few, Brooke, you have been called to be a pastor, and yours is a special, unique calling. And it's impossible work. Absolutely, categorically impossible work. Now, okay, I am not saying, Brooke, I am not saying that you are bumbling like Peter. No. And we were together yesterday, and we had this wonderful youth ministry gathering. But I've also seen this before. You are articulate and mature and wise. And this is the most important one, full of love. Brooke, you have been saying yes to this special, unique calling for 12 years now. I love that. And I've heard from so many how gifted you are at encouraging pastors and leaders, particularly in what we call the ground level ministries, like youth ministries. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the most important ministry of the church. Mm-hmm. We know something. We know something, yeah? Mm-hmm. You see the Spirit where others cannot see the Spirit. You listen to the Spirit. But it's been difficult. And you have felt extra pressures that some other pastors have not felt. Pressure to be somebody who you are not just because of who you are. And up to this point, you've stood your ground. Yay for you. And you've said, no, I'm good at this. I'm good at resourcing. I'm good at hospitality and good at networking. And by the way, it is okay to say, I'm good at this, because you are good at this. That's okay. And to say, this is what God has called me to, and this is ministry, because it is ministry. I've heard people say, so I know. In the past and right now in the presence, you have been and are the presence of Jesus to so, so many. And now it's becoming more official. That's wonderful. Deb Horst saw that many years ago. I saw this special calling back in Heston College. I have waited years for this day. But on the other hand, and hear this in context, Brooke. On the other hand, we all make mistakes. In some ways, we all have weaknesses, right? We are all of us sinking sand in some areas. So it doesn't matter whether you're bumbling like Simon, brave like Peter, or cautious like Nathaniel. It's impossible work. It's impossible work in Mosaic Mennonite Conference. Impossible work in Salford, PA. Impossible work in Heston, Kansas. Build the church on the most pagan of all places. Build the church at the crevice where the demons fly out. Now you might say, no, Michelle. Salford, PA is not exactly Vegas, right? It's much easier to build the church in eastern Pennsylvania, right? I don't know that much about Mosaic Mennonite Conference or eastern Pennsylvania, but if it's anything like Heston, Kansas, I do know a little. There's a subtle pagan influence that permeates everything. We talked about this in the ministry thing yesterday, right? Consumerism, materialism, militarism, addictions large or small. Maybe not a lot of orgies. I don't know. But quite a bit of small compromise. The temptation to be of the world and not just in the world. Or the temptation just to play church, just to pretend, just to mark time, just to you know, show up the appearance. And let me ask you this. What is worse, pagan sacrifices or living out a religious faith that is so mundane, no sacrifices required? And what about the demons of indifference? What about the demons of complacency? What about the demons of low self-esteem? What about the demons that say, this conference is too small, this denomination is too small, too out of touch with reality, not practical enough? What about those demons? What about the names you've been given, Brooke? And the thing that is, I don't know this, and if this is not true, then I'm going to shout hallelujah, but a lot of time, I don't know, so I'm going to name it. What about the names you've been given? Young, inexperienced, female. What if those names feel like sinking sand? What if the names you are tempted to give yourself feel like sinking sand? And I don't know that, I don't even know that about Mosaic, right? Or this congregation. Congregations as a whole get names. What if those names sound like sinking sand? The biggest barrier for Simon, or one of the big barriers, was his name. What was his parents thinking, you know? But we get these things, and they become hindrances, but not to Jesus. Jesus says, Brooke Martin, I have given you a new name. When somebody was given a special task or a special, a new calling in the ancient world, many times they were given a new name. So not only from Simon to Peter, but Jacob to Israel and Saul to Paul. And Jesus says it to congregations as well. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia, I have given you a new name. I have given you a new identity. An identity that's not built on what you have done or what you will do or how much education you have or who all you are or who all you know or how rich you are or poor you are. No. It's just the gift of God. It is the mark of grace. And it comes because of the confession that Jesus Christ is the one, the Messiah, the Christ, the true one of God. And that, not Peter, that is the real rock. And that confession, that belief, no, more than a belief, that statement of how we live our lives every moment of every day, that rock is so powerful, so firm a foundation that the gates of hell are stormed. It's not you and me. It's not you and me, Brooke. But when all of us together, when we live differently because Jesus is Messiah, then the whole world shakes. Then the gates of hell are stormed. And then all the evil of Mosaic Mennonite and all the complacency of Mosaic Mennonite and all the low self-esteem of Mosaic Mennonite, all of that comes crashing down and the church stands triumphant. Amen. Jesus believes in you, and Jesus believes in all of you. I know this maybe sounds crazy, like that Jesus would use ordinary people like you and me and all of us, right, to absolutely change the world. It sounds crazy that Jesus would use an ordinary group of people like us to do impossible things in God-forsaken places. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel like our names have been changed. It just feels like impossible work. But Jesus sees things that we don't see. Jesus has power that we cannot comprehend. I added some verses and I didn't ask you about this, but here listen to these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. For we look not at what we can see, but what we cannot see. For what we can see is temporary, and what we cannot see is eternal. My friends, there is something else going on here. There is something greater than a big pagan rock, something greater than a bunch of ordinary fools like us. Let me put it another way. The disciples were probably 15 or 16. James and John, they're fishing with their father Zebedee. They're rabbi rejects. And it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter, right? What the world doesn't even notice, or what the world sees as foolish, maybe this foolish denomination, it doesn't matter because that's the most important thing. You don't have to worry. Mosaic Mennonite, you don't have to worry about the impossible task that Jesus has given you. You can dream big dreams. Jesus is going to give you even bigger dreams, because the thing of it is, it's not you that's going to do it anyway, right? Nobody has the power to beat Caesarea Philippi on their own. The time is now. This is a crucial time in our church history. This is a time for new leaders. So what an honor to help you with your ordination, Brooke. And when I couldn't sleep last night, this is what came to me. A prayer. That there are other Brooke Martins sitting in the seats today. That God is calling others today. I don't want to, this is your special day. But right, knowing you, Brooke, if this can inspire other people to know that they too have that special calling. And you know what? It's such an honor to be picked. It's such a privilege to be called. Your names have been changed. And as long, even though it's impossible work, as long as we live day by day with the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one, the true one, then the church will be built. And not only be built, but the church will grow and thrive. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus believes in you, Brooke. Jesus believes in all of you. And when we start to grasp that, then it's easy. It's imperative to follow the rabbi wherever he goes.
Please turn to 332, In Christ Alone, and stand if you can.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for those powerful words and invitation for all of us. As I was preparing last night, the Spirit was stirring the same way, Michelle. I was thinking about how many times in my role as leadership minister with Salford, I have been here to officiate either licensings or ordinations. It is likely the place where I have led that process the most often in Mosaic. So thank you to the congregation here at Salford for providing fertile ground, for space for persons to say yes and to be invited into the ridiculous and holy task of public ministry in the way of Jesus within the Anabaptist tradition. I used to fight with the idea of ordination myself. And this is common across Mosaic because we do take it seriously, and it is also not particularly a biblical concept. So today we're about to do something that's not biblical. The concept of ordination is ancient and is within the tradition of the church rather than in the tradition of the text. And in the tradition of the church, in the tradition of the text, we know that each of us are called particularly to follow Jesus within our own sets of gifts, questions, and our own intersectionality. And in the tradition of the church, we have called and set aside specific people for whom we've rested specific responsibility to carry the public witness of Jesus, to embody that not only in their work, but in their lives. In the past, in Mennonite tradition, we've known that that might end in martyrdom. In the past, within even this meeting house, we know that that meant a special level of responsibility and burden without particularly high levels of compensation for such a high level task. Today, that responsibility almost seems ridiculous. Maybe it always has. In the world that Michelle talked about, whether it is Heston or Harleysville, whether it is Philadelphia or Miami, we know the work of the church increasingly is at the margins while we seek to find ourselves at places of power. This weekend, we have had an intro to Mosaic class, and part that intro to Mosaic class includes some persons who are exploring credentialed ministry within Mosaic. And four of them are here today. Esther from Neffsville, Jay from Seven Ways. I'm looking to see if I can find you all, you're hiding. Gwen from Redemption Bristol. And Jessica from Refuge, wherever she is. Oh, she's hiding totally. That is representing two of our online communities, Refuge and Seven Ways. So if you want to learn more about online communities, feel free to talk to them. They're all in the far back right corner so they can escape. The rest of our class this morning is at Solidarity and Harmony in Philadelphia. But I say that because of recognizing how the process is ongoing and full of possibility. And in this weekend, what I recognize for sure in this particular intro to Mosaic People Exploring Ministry class, there were no white dudes. Just me. Which is not a bad position. So today, Salford, I want to say thanks. And to Brooke, I want to say thanks and offer commendation. If you have not had the privilege of accompanying or working alongside or talking to Brooke, here are a few things you should know. She is both direct and kind. She can deal with a high degree of nonsense. I test that nonsense level all the time. She is deeply sincere. She's open to learn. She has not become angry despite some of the opportunities she's had to become so. She has cultivated this call by working it out, actually not in fear and trembling, but in faithful diligence. So when I had the privilege of sitting in on her ordination conversation, the thing that was most remarkable to me was that it just felt like the next normal step. And with women many times, and also with people of color in our conference, this step by the conference, and sometimes by the congregation, is often finally the institution catching up with the work that the Spirit has done. So we are here today. And Brooke knows that the whole thing halts if she answers no to any of my questions. So Brooke, I want to invite you forward for our series of questions. And Dave and Marlene, I want to invite you to join me also on the platform. This is interesting. So there's only three questions, but they're complicated. So Brooke, just relax while I ask them. And there's a question for you all who are gathered here at the end that's less complicated, so you don't even have to pay as much attention. Brooke, today, do you renew your baptismal vows of commitment to Christ as both Savior and Lord, of walking both in grace and truth, and by the power of the Spirit who gives gifts to all people for service, leadership, and ministry?
Absolutely.
Did you know she even stepped into the mic? Do you accept this call from the faith community at Salford as God's call? Do you commit yourself to strive to be Christ's presence fearlessly and to live in mutual accountability with the community of Jesus that is represented by this local congregation at Salford, by the broader community of Mosaic Conference, and by the global community of Mennonite World Conference, while being in conversation and respectful relationships with the broader faith community, both locally and globally?
Yes.
Do you commit yourself to prayer and to reading and applying the scriptures, along with healthy spiritual disciplines that will cultivate faith, hope, and love within you and for all of God's people, so that you might extend God's dream of justice, wholeness, and compassion?
Yeah.
Those were some affirmations. And to the congregation gathered here, whether you are a member at Salford or bearing witness today, in hearing Brooke's response and knowing Brooke's testimony, do you affirm God's call to ordination for Brooke and offer your prayer and affirmation of her as a minister of the good news of the reconciling love of Jesus Christ? If you do, please offer an affirmation in whatever way you would like to vocalize it, and you are invited to stand. I'm going to invite you to stay standing. In the ancient tradition, persons stood at the presentation of the good news. Today, we get to mark something with epideictic speech, which means a thing happens when we say it. So we invited Dave and Marlene to be here as a support. Dave is going to anoint Brooke. Pastor Brooke, we mark you as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks. be to God. Amen. And because the good news is among the people, Brooke, I'm going to invite you to actually move. We didn't choreograph this quite, but we're going to do this anyway. I'm going to invite you to move towards the middle. So in the ancient tradition, the gospel was always walked out to the people. Nathaniel can come along. I'm going to invite those of you who would like to stand with Brooke to join around her in prayer to extend your, you can physically touch or extend your arms. And I'll invite the persons who are designated for prayer, including my colleague Josh Meyer from Mosaic Conference, Amy Durstein, and Sheldon Good.
Yeah, Brooke.
Okay, sorry. Okay. God, we first thank you for Brooke. We thank you for the woman she is, a caring, compassionate, encouraging, and loving Jesus follower. She has been a blessing to all those who know her. We thank you for the call you have placed on her life, and we are grateful to Brooke. We are grateful that Brooke has heard, discerned, and is excited to take the next step in that calling. We thank you that you called Brooke to Heston, where she started her ministry training. After meeting Nathaniel, you called her to Pennsylvania, and we are extremely grateful that she continued her ministry here in a variety of ways. We are grateful that Brooke has heard your call and has obediently followed in both leaving a specific role and entering a new one. Brooke has entered times of uncertainty with grace, wisdom, and stable leadership. We are grateful that in your perfect timing, you have called Brooke here to Salford so she can continue her ministry finally as Pastor Brooke.
My prayer this morning is for the present. But first, imagine with me as I look back for a second. Brooke, this isn't the first time we've stood here in this congregation for a blessing. I was recently looking back through old photos and came across a photo from the innocent year of 2019. Imagine this, the photo is of six families standing up here where I am, our two families included, for child dedication. I am standing on the left holding 4-year-old Ezra with his back turned away from the congregation. Jen is holding little Magda, who's practically jumping out of her arms. You and Nathaniel are next to us. You're holding Naomi, who's letting out a massive yawn. And there's William, standing calmly. Nathaniel's hand resting gently on his shoulder. This is a classic photo of the chaos that is parenting. And it is also a snapshot of Christian community formation in real time. We were offering our children to God and to this congregation to be raised in the community of faith, warts and all. This is your community, Brooke. We are your community. We ask God to sustain you with the peace and grace and strength needed for such a time as this. For such a calling as this. And in closing, hear these words from the Methodist minister and poet Jan Richardson, a blessing of hope. May you know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment that opens to us. Hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew, muscle, bone, hope that has breath, a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when it is called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead. Not someday, but this day, every day, again and again and again.
God of the past, the present, and the future, we have prayed with gratitude for your presence in and through Brooke in the past. We've prayed for your sustaining grace and peace to be with her and her family in this present moment. We also pray, God, for your leading, your guiding, your blessing in this new season for Brooke, for all that lies ahead. We remember the words of Thomas Merton, who prayed that we often have no idea where we are going. We do not see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do we really even know ourselves. And the fact that we think that we are following your will doesn't mean that we actually are. But Lord, we believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And we see that desire, we affirm that desire in Brooke, and pray that she would maintain that desire in all that she does. May she never do anything apart from that desire to please and to honor you in all that she does. God, we trust that as she does this, that you will lead her, guide her, empower her, and sustain her. And we pray, God, that just as she is here in the present, just as she has done in the past, that Brooke would trust you always, that she would not fear, that she would know, deep in her soul that she is loved, accepted, valued, and redeemed, and that you are with her always to the very end of her days. And so, God, on this day, on this occasion, on our friend and on your servant, we pray for divine blessing. May God, the Creator, in her, for her, around her, above her, beneath her, before her, and after her, continue to be birthed through her for the sake of the world. May the risen Christ, love made flesh, be the bread that she eats, the cup that she drinks, the blessing she receives, and the presence she becomes for the sake of the world. And may your untamable spirit, your life-giving, faith-stretching spirit, take her, bless her, break her, and give her away for the sake of the world. We thank you, God, for all you've done, for all you are doing, and for all you will continue to do through Brooke. And we bless her now in Jesus' name. And together, everybody said, amen.
We have a symbolic gift from Mosaic for Brooke, which is, there are varieties of small gifts that we give. This year with Brooke, we're giving an oil candle because Brooke said, I kind of like to play with fire. Brooke, may you tend the fire within as you extend the light to the world.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being present to mark the Holy Spirit's work. And I do pray that others may be inspired and maybe affirmed in their own call. We don't get calls. We don't all get a Sunday morning. We don't get an employee of the month. But I do pray that you would be very affirmed that God is with you, that the Holy Spirit is working through you. So may you also feel part like a participant in this day. My call may be a little different. My call may be the same as yours. Thank you for bearing witness. I have a little benediction. And I think as my mother was humbling me this morning, saying pastors don't make up anything new. I should give credit that this benediction is not mine. It is from Tea in Theology, and I just heard it from a good colleague and the associate executive minister, Marta, shared it this week. Go out into God's world, filled with the spark of the Holy Spirit. Let love guide your actions. Listen for the Spirit of truth. Spread the peace of Christ. And remind everyone you meet that each one is a beloved child of God. Amen.
For our sending song, please turn to page 841 as you go out from here. Please stand if you can.